You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got James Wise. James, how you doing?
Hey, Ken, how you doing? Glad to be on the show.
Man, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So James is with the Holton Wise Property Group out of Cleveland, Ohio, and he's got a pretty cool business model where they sort of do turnkey, but they're really more into property management. They've got a full-service brokerage, but they specifically work with investors, which is actually something him and I have just been talking about for the last 30 minutes because I personally own properties up in Cleveland, so it's good to bounce ideas off of somebody else that's up there. But I'd love to hear how you got started, because it sounds like you got started as an investor before you ever got into the brokerage business. How did that happen?
Yes, I actually got started in real estate when I was 21 years old. I was not an agent or anything. I just knew that I always wanted to buy instead of rent. So I purchased my first property at 21, and then in the basement there, I installed a bathroom, a bedroom, and kind of a little kitchenette. Ended up moving my brother in, so I had my first tenant at 21.
Nice.
Did that for a couple years till my fiance decided my brother was no longer welcome in our basement.
Get your brother out.
It didn't work out too good for her. She didn't like him in our space. So later down the road, I actually ended up selling him a house a street away from me. I have to keep the guy close.
That's awesome.
And then shortly thereafter, I bought my first duplex. And I knew this guy. His name's John Holton. He's my business partner in the Holton Wise Property Group now. I met him when I was in high school. I had worked at a BP gas station, and my manager actually lived in one of John's rental properties. John was a contractor who ended up owning one rental property. So after I bought my second house, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do, and I needed to do some renovation work on it. So I contacted John, you know, had him do the work, and then we were talking, discussing, and we decided to team up, and that's how the Holton Wise Property Group was born.
And what year was that?
The first house was 2009. This was a couple years later.
Okay, I gotcha. So you guys came together, formed a, was it an investment company at the time, or were you more thinking property management brokerage?
No, at this time, the plan was strictly, I'm a realtor at this point in time. John is a contractor.
Gotcha.
That seems to be the best possible teammate scenario for us to buy our own rental properties. And we just wanted to buy properties for ourselves and build up the biggest rental portfolio that we possibly could alone. After doing that for a little while, we started to have some success. And we started, you know, just telling everybody who would listen what it is that we were doing. And other people really started to take notice and wanted to get involved. And that's how the idea of offering property management or joint venture partnerships really came about. And once we started doing that, our business really propelled and, you know, it got pretty big.
Interesting. And so how many properties are you guys up to at this point?
Right now we have about 250 or so properties under management of that portfolio. John and I own 100 of them. The other 150 are owned by other investors, most of which are out of state. You know, a lot of California guys. We got a couple guys really far away. We got a guy in Singapore, a couple guys in England, Israel.
Interesting. And so how are you guys marketing your services? Is it all word of mouth, or you guys have websites out there that are advertising turnkey?
Well, our website, the Holton Wise Property Group, I've done several podcasts, you know, much like yours. I'm pretty active on a website for investors called Bigger Pockets. I do a lot of blogs and write a lot of comments. Just really get the word out, you know, Facebook, Twitter. Pretty much any possible way that we can get the word out. And then we do a lot of local advertising as well, whether it be yard signs, sponsoring baseball teams, soccer teams. We try to stay pretty active in the community.
Yeah, very cool. And so is the majority of your business, is it traditional real estate or is it almost all investor?
It's mostly investor. We're doing some of the traditional stuff as well. At first, when we started doing the property management, we weren't our own brokerage. I was actually licensed through an ERA franchise, and mm-hmm. we were running it through that company. And shortly thereafter, we opened our own brokerage, brought on some agents, and that's when we really started focusing on the residential sales as well. Because, you know, we had a team, we had team members now that were able to handle that business.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so how are you guys finding the majority of your properties? Is most of it coming right off the MLS, or are you having to be more creative than that?
It's a mix. We do a lot of it off the MLS. There's a lot of pretty good properties and a lot of good deals off the MLS. But we also do, you know, an intense amount of direct marketing, from sending letters to yard signs. You know, almost every single property in the Holton Wise portfolio has some type of sign on it that says, "This property managed by the Holton Wise portfolio, we buy houses," things like that.
Nice. And so just curious, how are you guys financing the deals that you're putting into your own portfolio? I mean, they're pretty inexpensive. I'm assuming you're getting most of these in the $30,000, $40,000 range.
It's a mix. Honestly, we were doing a lot of the houses in the $30,000, $40,000 range when we first got started. And then we kind of moved up to the duplexes, which are in the $60,000, $70,000 range.
Okay.
And right now, our personal investment portfolio, we're really focused on apartment buildings, anywhere from 6 units to 20 to 40 units. That's what we're primarily buying ourselves right now.
Okay, interesting. And how are you putting those deals together?
Usually when we do those deals, we put it together with another capital investor. So we have all these property management clients. We don't really like to do joint ventures with people we just met. It can get kind of sticky sometimes. Sure. So, you know, we bring people on. They end up working with us. They get to know us. We get to know them. We do property management for them. And if it's a really clicking relationship that works out really great, that's when we end up, you know, approaching them about partnership deals where we do the larger buildings.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, you got this great pool of investors that have already, you know, put their properties with you guys to go after and look for potential partners and whatnot. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously when you're doing an apartment building, the cash investment out of them is much higher than when they're doing a single family house. You know, they're doing a $100,000 single family house. They're getting financing on it. They're really only putting up $25,000.
Right.
But, you know, when I bring a $600,000 apartment building and they're putting up $100,000, $150,000, they really need to have that trust with us.
Yeah. And so is there like a local bank that you guys are using to put the financing on that?
We've used several different banks.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about why Cleveland. I mean, a lot of people, I know when I even went up there and bought some properties myself, I got a lot of people kind of looked at me cross-eyed like, Cleveland, why are you going to Cleveland? But I spent some time up there and I was actually thoroughly impressed with the city and all the stuff that's going on, all the new construction downtown. I mean, it was really vibrant. Maybe talk a little bit about why Cleveland's such a great market to be in.
Yeah, Cleveland, nationally renowned as the greatest location in the nation, right?
I think somewhere it's written down.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what people say, don't they?
You just keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland's great. I mean, we have the Cleveland Clinic. That's one of the best hospitals in the country.
Yep.
We have a lot of healthcare professionals. You know, there's a lot of tech companies that are starting up in Cleveland. The city's really been putting a lot of money into itself recently to really try to bolster the city back up to what it once was.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're probably even a little bit more business friendly than a lot of other, you know, Rust Belt cities, where they're trying to bring some industry back to the city, and they're smart about some of these old factories and incentivizing businesses to come. I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of really good stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. We got, you know, almost 30 colleges and universities around here. We have, I think it was CNN one time wrote an article citing us as one of the top 10 job markets for new college grads. I mean, we got bioscience companies around here. I think there's like 300-400 of those. I don't exactly know everything that bioscience entails, but you know, we just got a lot of impressive stuff happening around here.
So in terms of where you guys operate, I mean, if you break down Cleveland, I mean, I know enough that there's sort of an East Cleveland and there's a West Cleveland. What's sort of the footprint that you guys operate in?
West side. We are 100% West side.
Okay.
Here in Cleveland, you know, your east side guys, they stick to the east side. Your west side guys, we stick to the west side. If you ever had to drive between the east side and the west side during rush hour, you would know why.
You know, it's funny because I remember being downtown with my buddy who lives up there. Actually, Joe Lieber, who's been on the show before. And we even ran into a guy and just started talking, you know, about investing. And he was a east side guy. And, you know, Joe's a west side guy. And it was funny how they sort of bowed up and they're even laughed about how there's just this division between the east side and the west side. And either you're one or the other. There's not people that really kind of dabble in both sides.
Exactly. I am west side and I think I will always be a west side guy. I don't think I have any interest in going to the east side. Nothing wrong with it. It's just if you're a West Side guy, you're a West Side guy.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So talk a little bit about, okay, so I mean, most of the people that are in Cleveland that are investing, it's all long term. It's all really cash flow play. What sort of cash flows are you seeing? What's typical that you see your investors buying and getting rents at?
In our portfolio, we range from single family houses in C minus neighborhoods to single family houses in B plus neighborhoods. The single families in the cities, you know, what we do is we target properties that don't need full renovations. You know, we're not looking to buy a $10,000 shell that needs $30,000 in renovation. That's just not our business model.
Yeah.
We're looking to find you a house that's, you know, maybe a little undervalued because it's a little bit ugly. It needs some cosmetic work. Maybe it needs a new roof, new furnace, you know, just minor stuff. So all in, our investors are usually in the $40,000 to $50,000 range in the city for singles. And those are going to rent between $700 and $800. And then in the suburbs, you know, all in $60,000, $75,000, $850 to $1,000 in rents. And then we focus heavily on duplexes in the city of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The price ranges on those, you know, $65,000, $75,000 rents, you know, $1,100 to $1,300 for the, you know, total.
Man, that's strong.
And then we do some apartment buildings. Not too many of our clients have purchased apartment buildings by themselves. Anytime somebody's interested in doing apartment building, it's usually in a joint venture with John and myself.
What sort of caps are you looking at on the apartment buildings?
They're not as high as some people would expect them to be. You know, they're around 7 or 8.
Okay.
And, you know, just so you know, Cleveland, very, very large, very, very large city, you know, probably 20, 30 zip codes. When we're in Cleveland, we only focus on a very small section of Cleveland,
yeah,
the southwest corner. We're looking for what we consider to be the nicest area of the city. You know, if you go to some of the rougher areas, you know, on paper, people are getting higher cap rates, but that's just not a business model that I'm interested in, because no matter what that cap rate says on paper, it doesn't amount to that if you're in the really bad areas.
Yeah. The higher the cap rate, usually the higher the headache that comes with it.
And the higher, you know, the higher the expenses, your tenants will do some insane things. Like, I have properties in good areas. I have an apartment building in a suburb, and about a month ago, I had to deal with a tenant frantically calling us. She lived in the second story, and she was frantically calling because it was storming, and the upstairs tenant had thrown her couch out the window, and it fell into her window.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's in a good neighborhood, so... And, you know, obviously that's a one-off, but, you know, you get yourself into, quote-unquote, the ghetto. I mean, a couch through the window would be the least of your problems.
That's, yeah. So are many of your tenants in those apartment buildings, are they Section 8?
No. Almost none of them are Section 8. We work a little bit with the Eden program, but we very, very rarely work with Section 8.
Even in the single family, not much Section 8 either?
No. Mostly, okay. We'll either do, it's almost all, you know, people with jobs, people with cash, sometimes people on SSI. We try to work with, you know, just fair market rents. If we do get into any subsidy, though, it would be Eden.
Okay.
CMHA Section 8 is very, very difficult to work with.
Yeah.
They've been getting worse throughout the year, so it's something we really try to avoid.
Interesting. So what's the Eden program? Is that like a local subsidized program?
It's very, very similar to Section 8, but they're actually decent to work with, I guess.
Okay.
You said you own some Cleveland properties. I'm sure you had to deal with the Cleveland Division of Water a couple times, right?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't remember it ever being an issue. I mean, we obviously had to get water turned on, but I don't remember ever having any problems.
Yeah, well, usually it's like working with them. I'm surprised you haven't any problems. Typically, when you're working with the water company, they'll give you a window of when they'll turn on your water, and that window happens to be 72 hours.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. You know,
with no call ahead.
And you have to be there to have it turned on?
That's what they want.
You know what? I think that's because, so Joe Lieber, actually, he brokered these deals for us. And he probably dealt with that headache rather than us, because he rehabbed them for us.
Okay.
So, yeah, when we first bought them and got water turned on for the rehab, I'm sure that was the headache he had to deal with.
It doesn't work out too bad if you guys are there and you're doing a rehab, so you're there for 3 days straight. But, if you buy a house that the water just got turned off from the old cellar, it doesn't need much work, and you get a 72-hour window, I mean, what are you supposed to do at
that crazy point?
So working with CMHA kind of reminds me of working with the Cleveland Water Department. So,
well, you know, the other thing I remember Joe telling me, too, is that, like, code enforcement was really, like, Nazis in Cleveland, in certain neighborhoods. And they'll just ding you for this and for that if you're, you know, if your house isn't up to snuff.
Yeah, if you get on their radar, you know, if you have a lot of properties and you're not taking care of them, if they want to go after you, yeah, they will make your life miserable. If you do what you're supposed to do and you have a good relationship with the inspectors, they're usually pretty lenient. You know, yeah. we have 250 properties in the area, so they know who we are. We're pretty good with those guys. They have our cell phone numbers. We have their cell phone numbers. So a lot of times, you know, if they see a house of mine and they need something fixed, they'll call me like, look, I'm not going to slight you for this if you get it done in the next week. And we always oblige.
Yeah. 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 You don't want to get on their bad list, I guess.
No, no. They can make or break you.
Yeah. So the other interesting observation I found with Cleveland when I was up there is that one, that they rent pretty easily. Like all of our houses rented up very quickly. And two, there wasn't a high expectation in terms of the condition of the properties. Like we did sort of a lipstick rehab, and I felt like we were even going over the top to get a tenant, where my buddy Joe, he literally doesn't do anything to these houses. He buys them distressed. I mean, maybe puts a furnace in and he rents them. I mean, it's funny. I'm not sure if it's a Cleveland thing, but there just isn't a high expectation, it didn't seem like, for the property to be in immaculate condition.
Yeah, I would agree that they don't have to be immaculate. I mean, obviously they all need furnaces, whether they're newer or older. But, you know, I got a lot of guys out in California, and if we're, you know, especially in the lower end area looking, you know, the houses that are in the $40,000 range.
Yeah.
And it has a really old air conditioner, and they're like, ah, you know, we got to spend another $3,000-$4,000 to fix it. I inform them, like, actually, we could probably just remove it, and the tenants will get a window air conditioning unit. So a lot of stuff like that from out-of-state guys from warmer clients, they're pretty shocked that those really aren't the norm. Dishwashers in the suburbs, I think dishwashers are good and very important. But, you know, if you're actually in the city, dishwashers, you really don't need to have those in the houses.
Well, and even it seemed like carpet and paint. I mean, it wasn't like the expectation that you had brand new carpet or that fresh paint on the walls.
We actually try to avoid carpet at all times. A lot of these houses are older, so they have nice hardwood floors. So anytime there's carpet, we pull the carpet out and we do a light buff and a poly on the floor and leave it as hardwoods.
Smart. Yeah. Yeah, especially you're right. Most of these older houses are going to be hardwood anyways.
Yeah, and you know how it is. You know, dogs, they're going to pee on the carpet. People are going to spill drinks on the carpet. So, you know, once you do a nice job on the floor and you put a few coats of poly on it, that floor's good for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So you've got 250 properties under management. You got 100 or so, you know, that you guys own yourself, along with some apartment buildings. Is there one deal to you that stands out as like your best deal ever?
Yeah. We bought this apartment building last year, and you know, I don't know if it's like the greatest deal as far as profitability wise. I just think it's the greatest deal I've done so far because of how difficult it actually was to put it together.
Okay.
I had seen the deal, and I'm like, wow, that's a really good deal. It's a 21-unit apartment building. And I had talked to a couple people about it, and I had one investor who committed to it. He put in the $5,000 earnest money. We signed the contract. Me and John, we did the full inspection on the property. Everything was going smoothly, and then at the last minute, he got himself tied up into some other investments in a couple other states. And no longer had the capital put into the deal, and he had to pull out of the deal. Now, the other broker that presented the deal to me, I had a pretty good relationship with this guy. So I'm talking to him. I explain to him. You know, I come to him with my tail between my legs, and I'm like, all right, this is where we're at. I think I could put it back together with a couple other of my investors. Can I have a few days? He's like, yeah. I'll give you 48 hours. See what you can do. And out of the capital investor in this deal, we needed to raise about $124,000, $125,000. And I had 48 hours to do it.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, with a lot of work, I'm brainstorming with a couple of the other guys that work here and go to some investors. And believe it or not, we were able to fund it. We got the $124,000. I had approached one of my biggest investors who we do a lot of business with. And he really liked the deal, but he didn't have $124,000 cash to put into it. So he contacted one of his friends, and he's like, give me a couple hours. Goes back and forth with one of his friends, calls me back. Hey, we're both in. So they both took a 33% stake, and then we took a 33% stake. And we put in another $22,000 into the deal, and then we perform the property management at no charge.
Oh, nice.
So all that's good. We're back under contract. Everything is good. And this is towards the end of 2014. The seller was actually doing a 1031 exchange, and we had assumed his old commercial mortgage from his old bank, but the bank dragged everything out. One of the worst banks I've ever dealt with. I probably would never deal with them again.
Wow.
Long story short, it got to the point where if it did not close in 2014, he was going to have to take a $50,000 tax hit because he couldn't do his 1031 exchange. It was going to expire.
Oh.
And we literally had the thing file at 3:30 on the last day.
Oh, my gosh. Holy
cow. So if it would want another half hour, I would have been out the deal. So between the first investor backing out, having 2 days to find $124,000, and then working this thing down to the last wire, I would say that is probably the deal I'm the most proud of, one of my better deals. The property does great. It performs pretty well for us. And, you know, it's just very exciting. Such a roller coaster to get it done.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. That's real estate for you, though. Especially a deal that you really want. They're always like the hardest ones to work for, it seems like.
Absolutely. You know, just if you put your mind to it and you see a deal you want and you just refuse to take no for an answer, you could probably get it done.
Yeah. Well, and you guys already have a network of investors, so you guys had people to go to help put this deal together. That's the thing I tell people all the time is build your network. Have people around you that you can do business with and throw these types of joint ventures together when the opportunity arises.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I was just brand new out of the gate and we didn't have anything going on, yeah, I would have had no chance to put that deal together. You know, I see a lot of people, I hear a lot of people, investors talking on other websites about, you know, trying to get into deals where they could use a lot of outside money. But if you're just starting out, I mean, it's almost impossible. The only time you get to the point where you could really use outside money is when you've built up a reputation, you've put up a lot of your own money, whether it be into buildings, infrastructure, to really build out your business. Once you get established, the money will come.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good deals find money. That's for darn sure.
Exactly.
That's killer. So talk to us real quick about your website. If there's an investor listening to this podcast, they're like, man, I'm sold on Cleveland. I want to check this out. How would they find you?
You can find us just about everywhere. You can find us on Facebook, the Holton Wise Property Group, our website, holtonwisepropertygroup.com. If you don't want to type all that out, we also have the other URL, holtonwise.com. We're on Twitter, at Holton Wise. My personal Twitter is at James Wise, HWPG.
HoltonWisePropertyGroup.com or HoltonWise.com. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes so people can find you if they're interested. James, thanks so much, man. This was awesome.
Hey, thank you, Ken. I'm glad you had me on, and it's been great.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out, you can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm Podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name, address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.